You might remember a few weeks ago, I talked about several subjects all in one message. Somebody spoke to me, referred to it as, and I mean this lightheartedly, as a shotgun message, that it should hit some people, it might not hit everyone. And it was one of those occasions where if you heard something relevant, you may have wanted to pick it up and listen further with the Holy Spirit. But I want to continue by picking up on one of those areas that I said demonstrated that even when Jesus was going through the toughest times and he knew what he was going to be facing, he was waiting to be unjustly tried, tortured, abused, and then hung on a cross, we were still in his heart and that we were still his priority. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's prayed to be to glorify his Father, and he's also prayed for his disciples. But now Jesus is praying for all believers, including us and the ones yet to come. John chapter 17, 20 to 26. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I may myself may be in them too. I want to briefly unpack those verses. I say briefly, it's a bit like Tony makes the most amazing chocolate cakes. And when, you know, when you put chocolate on the top and it's just about to go hard, but it's still slightly loose, and you get a knife and you scrape it off just to pinch a bit and then push it back over. So she doesn't notice. Sorry, she sat next to me. She knows now. It's a bit like that. We're going to scrape the surface. I would absolutely encourage you. There's loads of cake below all of this for you to go and read John 17 for yourself and to really explore what it means. I've spent a few days in total just praying about this, and it's just phenomenal. You know, Jesus knows what's going to be. He knows that he's going to be coming across some difficulties. He's going to be coming across his disciples are going to disown him. He's going to get abused. He's going to be unjustly tried, and all that pain and suffering that Jesus has. And yet, if you read this prayer and you read it with the perspective that the Holy Spirit has given us today, it's a really positive prayer about what's yet to come. So even while Jesus was going through those difficult times, he was still praying positively about what's going to happen. So Jesus did not just pray for his disciples. He also had the heart and the vision that through his followers, millions, and I mean millions, millions, will come to know Jesus. So look at it this way. When Jesus went to the cross, and because he did go to the cross, he knew that his work would endure. He knew. If you read the prayer, he absolutely knew his work would endure. His prayer was positive. It prayed about the future. And it was full of hope for everyone that even in the chaos that he was experiencing, and as we know, his disciples were yet to experience, he knew that his work would endure. That's number one. Number two, Jesus prays about unity. He has in his mind not just the local church of the Fellowship of West Auckland Vineyard, or any of the local churches together organizations. He is talking about his church worldwide. He was talking about his followers rising above their differences, rising above their different backgrounds, and understanding what unity means, and knowing that all who are on the journey to know more about Jesus have a place in this unity that the Bible refers to as the body. In 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27 says this: it is important that everyone in the body should have equal concerns and know how they fit in the body, or fit in this unity. When one part of the body suffers, every part suffers. Even in Jesus's prayer, he was concerned about how people fit into his body of unity, knowing that backgrounds are not a determining factor. A great misunderstanding of the church is that it's not diverse. That's what the world thinks, but we know very different. If we look at the worldwide church in countries like Africa, if we look in India, China, America, France, Germany, the UK, Spain, there is diversity. And Jesus laid the foundation not only for it to be diverse, but also to be unified. And this presents us, not just the leaders of churches, but us. It presents us with a challenge and a question. And that question is, why are we not unified? Is it our own desires that get in the way? Could this be why Jesus in his prayer was concerned with the relationships we have with him and the Father? You see, it's really simple. The closer our relationship is with Jesus and the more we love him, the closer we are to each other, and the easier it is to look beyond people's backgrounds and seeing who God created us to be. As I was thinking about this message, I even dared, would you believe, to go and have a look at Revelation. So I had a little wander around there. So for anybody who struggles with Revelation, I am that person, one of those people. So come and join the gang. So Revelation 7, 9 to 10 says this: after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." I, like a lot of people, struggle to imagine that. And that's okay. But this is a message of unity. Unity and diversity surely can go hand in hand with a close relationship with Jesus. Jesus prayed for the church to be one. Should we not walk in that truth that the church is one? You know, when Jesus prayed, he interceded for us. Now, I can't believe anything different than that the church is unified. And surely we should now start to act as if it is. You know, Jesus essentially gave the world permission to judge the validity of his ministry based on the unity of his people. Fortunately, we are held together by the Holy Spirit who equips us. It's we're coming to the end. I came across a particular story. But before I read this story, I was listening to some music this morning, and some people might know an artist who sings Christian songs called Mark Schultz. And he wrote a particular song called Broken and Beautiful. And the words are just phenomenal, because one of the difficulties in the world, particularly where people don't know who Jesus is, how can you be broken and beautiful at the same time? Well, Jesus was broken. When he went to the cross, he was broken. And like a lamb, he took on the sins of the world. But he was beautiful. And that's the difficulty that we face as followers of Jesus. But this song really enlightens that sense of broken and beautiful, and the challenge that the church faces being unified. And there's a particular lyric, a particular line, and it goes like this, if I can read it. It goes like this. And feel free to do it if you like, by the way. Close your eyes, bow your head. Is anyone here in need of prayer? Because Jesus wants to meet with you. And it's in that meeting that we can experience Jesus's love. And it is that love, because he first loved us, that pours out of us in our relationships in the church, in West Auckland Vineyard, and also outside of the church. I want to read a story, if I may. And I came across this story. You've probably heard it before. Or something very similar. I've kept the language in as it's for a purpose, but don't worry, there's nothing shocking. You're not going to be offended by the language. The woman that's talked about in the story, maybe some of us have already met before, or we might even meet in the future. It could be somebody who doesn't quite fit into the way we see the world. So the story goes like this. The story is told of an old woman, an elderly woman, who visited a local church one day. When the service drew to a close, this elderly woman in her worn and tattered clothes went forward in order to become a member. The preacher listened to her, tell him that she believed in Christ and wanted to be baptized. He also found out that she was still and had been a cleaning woman all of her life. The preacher thought, she is so disheveled and she even has a foul odor about her. She cleans toilets for a living. What would the members think of her? He told her that she needed to go home and pray about it for a while before she was baptized. The next week, here she came again, and during the invitation, she told the preacher that she had prayed about it and she still wanted to be baptized. But the preacher told her to go home and pray some more. She was still whiffy. A few weeks later, the preacher ran across the elderly woman while out doing some errands. He did not want her to know that he did not want her joining the church. So he asked her why she had not been at church for a while. Is everything all right? He asked. Oh, yes, she said. I talked with Jesus and he told me not to worry about becoming a member of your church. "He did?" said the preacher, a little taken back. "Oh yes," she replied. "Jesus said even he hasn't been able to get into your church, and he's been trying for years." Jesus knew then and now that it was not just words that would bring people to know him, but our actions towards each other, and of course, the love we show the world because we have received his grace. After all, this is not about membership, but a friendship, a relationship with our Savior, Jesus.